2 years have passed since the terrible Hamas attacks of October 7, 2023. The hostages have finally been released. Is this the beginning of peace in the Middle East? We'll discuss it.
Can you imagine? The moments are visceral. Family members receiving their hostage loved ones into their arms after 2 years of terror group Hamas holding them in captivity. 20 living hostages released as part of the first phase of a U.S.-brokered peace deal.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, the ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to David Tal of the Balogun Connection. Praise God for the secure delivery of the living hostages. In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to Olivier Melnick about his new book, Anti-Semitism in the End Times. You can find the extended version on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
This morning, the world witnessing extraordinary scenes in Israel. The first images of those 20 Israeli hostages turned over as family members cried and crowds by the tens of thousands erupted in applause. And there were cheers for President Trump touching down today in Israel to announce to the world the hostages have been released and continue his push for a path towards peace.
This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East.
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. Well, the hostages have been released and are back home with their loved ones. And here to discuss that today is our guest. We like to welcome back from the Balogun Connection, David Tal. David, thank you so much for joining us.
It's amazing to be here, and it's amazing to get the word out from the ground here in Israel. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so appreciative of that. So, David, we've seen in the clips all of the hostages being returned, heartwarming video of these. I know I was brought to tears watching this. You're in Israel right now, so just give us an overall feeling and temperature of what's going on there. What are people in the government saying about this?
There is a sigh of relief. The whole country has actually gone through this stage of, it's over, they're back. And the news, the people on the balcony over there, everybody in Israel was watching the news, sharing the information about the parents getting ready, about the people lining the streets with the flags. Hashid Square was something like 50,000 people. I mean, watching it all together. The release of the hostages was personal issue the whole country. And I think that's kind of fascinating.
David, earlier this week, you put out a video walking through step by step as these events were taking place, this hostage release, and you brought a human element to it that maybe us in the West are so disconnected with. These are real men that were really held captive for 2 years and are now really alive and back with their families. Can you help us understand the depth of that and the glory to God for that?
Israel's a tiny little country. We're 9 million people. We're the size of a major city in the United States. Everybody knows somebody who knows a hostage. Everybody knows somebody who fell in this war. Quick reminder, 250 hostages since the whole thing started, but we've lost 900 soldiers. And it is very personal for us. If you know a family of a hostage, people are calling them. We know the families of the hostages by now, by name. We know who is this and what soccer team they follow and where do they live. And it's a feeling like a family member was in this deep, dangerous, crazy operation. And think about standing next to the door waiting for the person to walk out of the hospital. And that's exactly what the whole country felt on the personal level.
And it is part of the deal that Trump played out that the bodies have to be released. And yet, as of early this week, when we are recording this, only 4 bodies have been released. David, how do we work forward with this? Do those bodies, do they even know where they're at? Are they holding them captive still? What is the thoughts of the people there in Israel right now with the bodies in general?
As far as we know right now, there's still 24 bodies that should be released. Hamas is saying that they don't know where all of them are, but the underlying idea is that there are more that they could have released than they have released. That means that's them wiggling inside the agreement. We have turned over 45 bodies of Hamas fighters in return for, we thought we were going to get the 28 back. We only got 4 back. Now, as a result of that, immediately, what Israel is doing is not fulfilling all of the requirements of our part of the agreement. For instance, the Rafah opening or Rafah crossing that connects the Gaza Strip to Egypt was not opened by Israel as a result of exactly this kind of issue. There's supposed to be an international committee that's going to send people inside to find the bodies. But we think that the Hamas is playing games with this again, and this is no different. They've done this in the past before, too.
David, that's interesting you say that, because I think President Trump was instrumental in putting this deal together on both the Israeli side and with the Arabs. So I want to play a quick clip and get your comment on it.
Like the USA right now, it will be the golden age of Israel and the golden age of the Middle East. It's going to work together. The final sprint to this deal began less than 3 weeks ago on the sidelines of the United Nations in New York. I met with many of the people in this room, and it all just started coming together. I've known so many of you for so long. You're friends of mine. You're great people. I have a couple I don't like in particular, but I won't tell you who. I have actually a few of them I don't like at all, but you'll never find out who they are.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, the program founded by Jan Markell. We have all kinds of products on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. All you have to do is go to the website and go to the store button, and there's all kinds of new products on there. And in our extended version this week, we will be talking with Olivier Melnick about his new book, Antisemitism in the End Times. You can find the extended version on our website, olivetreeviews.org, underneath the Watch Now tab, or you can go to our YouTube channel, the Jan Markell YouTube channel. I'm Pastor Josh Schwartz with my co-host, Ken Michael, and today we've got David Tall of the Balagan Connection with us. And we just heard, David, President Trump's remarks there in Egypt. What are your thoughts on all that?
I'm going to say it like this. Thank God for President Trump. It's my hair stand on end thinking that we would be in this place in history with Kamala Harris. It would have been a disaster. And what President Trump brought was the ability to maneuver, push, and use American military, economic, and diplomatic power in order to achieve what I think and he thinks are American interests. No other president had been willing to use those tools like that. So thank God for President Trump. And the thing that everybody in Israel has been saying is the blessing that says, thank God that we've come to this time. But that being said, there still is a lot of maneuvering and a lot of pressure that's being done. And what President Trump is doing is, after we've made this agreement, he's trying to solidify it by pulling in the prestige of all the other nations and saying, you're a part of this. He's tying this. You've been a part of this. And that's going to make it harder for anybody to wiggle out of it. And the last thing is that he's tying us into the third stage, meaning ceasefire was the first stage. The agreement about what's happening in Gaza is the second stage. And he's already sewing together the third stage, which is this overall Middle East peace that will be connected to American control over most of the economies here in the area.
Yeah, David, that's an interesting point also, because I don't think this deal could have been done had we not taken out Iran's nuclear facilities first.
Yeah.
So that was a huge detriment to funding Hamas and what they wanted to do in their operations, and then gathering all the other Arab nations together, I think, was key. As we look at this, we see phase one now is almost complete. We need the rest of the hostages back. Now that we go into phase two, what do you see Hamas doing? It sounds like they don't want to disarm yet.
What has always kept us on the edge in Israel was Hamas is saying that they won't disarm them. Hamas is saying that they want to continue. Hamas is saying that they are a liberation movement and hand over their arms, meaning that they quit being who they are. The world understands that Hamas cannot be allowed to keep a loaded gun under its pillow. So that is going to be the main test now for the agreement. Can all of the different players that President Trump has pulled in cause Hamas to give up its arms? And that's the thing that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it truly is. Because we have to keep in mind that Hamas is being seen as a political player, but more than anything, they're a terrorist player. They are a proxy of the Iranian snake that is slithering all throughout the Middle East to try and destroy the Jews and destroy the nation of Israel. Hopefully, through this, the world is going to have a front row seat to just the snaky reality of who Hamas is.
Knowing who I'm talking to and knowing that the people that are watching this probably have an open Bible somewhere, I'm going to say it like this. The Hamas is this generation's player and fight against God. The Hamas right now and the Arab Muslim fanatic jihadi is the modern version of Amalek, or is the modern version of Haman, or is the modern version of the Greeks who fought against us. So we need to remember that we can talk to military, we can talk to geopolitics, but this is a spiritual war and the Hamas is the side of the snake.
And you talked about in your presentation earlier this week about how theologians are going to be talking about this for years to come. And that's exactly why, because we have to understand that the evil one, Satan is his name, is going to continually be fighting against God's people and fighting against the Jews and God's nation there in Israel. And we're going to continually see a spiritual battle play on, because Satan knows his demise is coming. And as you corner him more and more, he's going to fight harder and harder. So David, with all of that in mind, how are we seeing Bible prophecy line up and seeing the word of God, the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled?
If we go back 20 years, there was an existential threat against Israel from the Arab countries. I was a young kid here in the Six-Day War, and Jordanian fighter bombers and artillery bombed Jerusalem. I was a little baby lieutenant when we were afraid that the Syrians would come across the border with thousands of tanks, or the Jordanians would make a beeline for Jerusalem. Those threats don't exist anymore. Later on, the threat became the intifadas, the uprising, blowing up buses. That has mostly dissipated. The last existential threat, and that's what Hamas tried to do on the 7th of October, is this different kind of war, this asymmetric warfare, this media war that is being taught. And as of now, as a result of President Trump being in power, which I believe was a divine event, and as a result of Israel's military strength, the threat of the Hamas has been put underground. The threat of the Hezbollah, Iran, has been put underground because of American military power. We're looking at, I think, the beginning of, or the backdrop of, or the laying out of the foundation of a larger peace. And we know that that has to play out in biblical prophecy. Now, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, would there be peace in the Middle East? It was inconceivable. Today, it's conceivable.
Yeah. In fact, David, President Trump said, as I said earlier, that he sees an eternal peace coming to that area. And from the Bible, we know that there is going to be a temporary peace in Israel. However, that's going to be shattered. So that's looking ahead. But you had mentioned earlier how this is all going to play out. Let's kind of project into phase three. We know that eventually Hamas is going to be removed from that area, and the United States is going to play a role. But who do you see coming into that area? Because that whole area, what is it, 80% of it's devastated. Who's going to come in there, clean it up, rebuild it? And then who do you see moving into that area? Are they going to be some Palestinians? How are they going to screen the people? Because that's a beautiful area. I mean, if they wanted to make that into a tourist commerce area, they could certainly do that.
Actually, on Israeli TV, there was an item where they said Egyptian government has agreed to train Palestinian technocrat from the Palestinian Authority, which is the other version of the Palestinian government. And they will be allowed to move into Gaza to be the instigators, or to run, or to be the government in Gaza. In the meantime, until a local government comes up, there's billions of dollars. And Trump mentioned this both in Jerusalem and in Egypt that are waiting to be poured onto Gaza Strip. The only thing is that nobody's going to pour it into the Gaza Strip, including the Gulf states, if the Hamas is in power still, because it'd just go into more bloodshed. or if the Palestinian Authority is in control because they're corrupt in ways that nobody can understand. So there's probably going to be some kind of Arab combination government will be acceptable to the people in Gaza and acceptable to Israel. It looks like that's going to be the solution. The United States said yesterday that they are going to send military trainers to train some kind of security force to stay in Gaza in the meantime.
That's really important, David, because we're going to see a conglomeration of all these nations that have signed on to this peace deal. Even earlier this week, it seems that Beirut is seeing the need to come in to this and bring peace for a time in the north. Now, one thing that I think we haven't touched on that I think is really important to touch on is Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, as the world calls it. How does this change what's happening there, David?
The fact that Israel stepped on the head of the snake in Gaza and stepped on the head of the snake in Beirut that you mentioned, and Hezbollah is a non-player anymore. And basically, because of Hezbollah being a non-player, then Syria has changed its regime, is also looking out to reach some kind of an agreement. And as a result of all of these, Iran has been put on its back foot. All of these are creating feeling in the Middle East that Israel is the regional power. And that plays a role in a society, in a culture where power is the greatest currency more than anything else. So tie that to Judea and Samaria. We have not seen Judea and Samaria really rise up in these 2 years of war. I think they've been contained. Israel has done a lot of work inside Judea and Samaria because there is Hamas. But in a nutshell, I want to touch something a lot of people don't really understand about Arab culture. There's a big difference between what the government say, the leadership says, and what the people say. Let's make this clear. The hatred for Israel is the common denominator of the whole Muslim world. Governments are willing to make agreements, concession, dealing and wheeling. Hatred of the people is still in place. So the Palestinian leadership in the West Bank is staying away from confrontation with Israel. The rest of the Arab nations are staying away from confrontation with Israel, but the hatred is still there. And again, that's going to be the peace that everybody talks about that's on the government level, but it's going to bubble up from underneath. But that, again, is a prophetic event.
I think you're spot on there in helping us understand truly the way that power and politics play in the Middle East is deeply important, because a lot of us don't understand that and can't put those pieces together because we've never been there. We don't live in a culture like that. We live in a totally different Western culture.
So David, as we conclude here, we're hearing that there is a revival going on in Israel. Would that be similar to what we're hearing in the United States, that there's this, obviously there's a Christian revival going on here? What's going on over there in Israel?
People need to understand that what happened moved Israel from trauma to the post-trauma. And in post-trauma, you start asking the questions about what and how. A result of that, there's a huge religious revival in Israel right now. People are going to the synagogues more. People are becoming more religious. We see more people with the kippah on their head. So there's a Jewish revival going on because people are spiritually asking, this is not enough. We did everything we thought was right and was still enough. An illustration I like to use is, I don't know if you remember in the Bible, in the battle against Amalek, they were fighting the battle and when Moses' hands were up, we were winning. Moses' hands were down, we were losing. And I always think of it from the point of view of the soldier on the ground. He has to ask himself, why am I losing now and winning now? That's what Israel is doing right now. That means, though, also that their hearts are open. And I've been walking around the country and connecting, and people are asking me, what are people in America saying? They're seeing the anti-Semitism from both the far left wing in the United States, but even what we call conservative Christians in the United States. And when I come and I say, I'm here because I'm Christian, and here are Christians who are supporting, and here are Christians who love you, and here are Christians who want to support Israel, you can see the question mark all in their head. And they say, why? And when that happens, that door opens, say, because of Jesus. That is what's happening.
Yeah, Josh, this is the perfect time for Christians to witness to Jews. I can't think of a better time than right now.
Yeah, and I think, David, as you're on the ground in Israel, we beg you to share our love for the Jewish people. We beg you to pass on great gratitude and that we are praying for them. We love them. We care for them. And that truly we do the things we do here because we don't want to see the Holocaust repeated. We don't want to see the silence repeated. We want to stand firm with the truth, knowing that God has future plans for the nation of Israel, not only salvific plans, but restorative plans, and that Jesus is the answer. So David, thank you for bringing that full circle, because truly, like we have never seen before, at least in the modern era, we have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with Jewish people, not only through tangible acts, but through actual words that are soul transforming. So this is just a great time to remind not only ourselves, but even our listeners, that Jesus is working, and we need to be praying sternly and eagerly that his will be accomplished and the gospel will go forth.
You're right, Josh. God is on the move like I've never seen before. Well, our guest today has been David Tull from the Balagan Connection. David, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry?
Start off with the Balagan Connection right there. I'm on YouTube, on Instagram, and there are links there on the YouTube channel to everything you need to do. There's even merchandise. But basically what I need people to do is follow what's going on in Israel. Don't believe everything the media is saying, which is why I want to say thank you to Olive Tree Ministries for being a source of information that we as Christians can value and trust. And I think this is what we need to stress. So the Balagan Connection on YouTube will probably be the best way.
Well, David, do you have any closing thoughts in just bringing all of this together?
I'm going to do something in Hebrew that's been reverberated all over Israel. Trump said in Jerusalem, this is going to be a time of faith, of peace, and of God. He said that on Israeli public television. There was a Feast of Tabernacle events where Israeli television showed Christians coming to Israel. There was a story about an Iranian who left Iran in Israel because he became a Christian. So Israel is being exposed to this. Just expose more of my people to the love of Jesus. This is what I want more than anything else.
Well, David, thank you. God bless you and your ministry, and keep up the fabulous work you're doing over there.
Thank you, guys. And hope to see as many of you here as soon as possible.
Amen. The Palestinians are, as such, the name Palestinians, it's a displaced people that was basically created by Yasser Arafat, who was placed in the Middle East in the early 60s by the USSR. Basically, at the beginning, it took a while to be accepted, but he was pushing the idea that Palestinians were displaced people that had been pushed away by Israel, taking over the land of Palestine and occupying the land of Palestine and pushing the original indigenous Palestinians out of their own land to make the 1948 State of Israel. And then, of course, in the early 60s, it didn't take right away. But now we're in 2025, where the whole world is no longer questioning that. And the Palestinian narrative, which is based on absolutely zero history, is being accepted by everybody. And people supporting the Palestinian cause are feeling that they're really rooting for social justice and the right cause, when in fact, they are only promoting the idea that Jews should not exist even in their own ancestral biblical land known as Eretz Israel, the land of Israel.
Hey friends, that was our interview with Olivier Melnick. You can catch the rest of that interview on our extended version. You can find the extended version on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our Rumble or YouTube channels under Jan Markell. We hope you join us this week.
Well, we are just coming off our Understanding the Times night with Pastor Barry Stagner. Check out our online store for a DVD of this event, or watch it at no cost on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or you can check us out on our YouTube channel or Rumble channel. We had a tremendous night reaching over 30 nations and encouraging them to look up, for our redemption draws near.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Make sure you visit our web store at olivetreeviews.org, where we are featuring both Olivia Melnick's new book, Anti-Semitism in the End Times, and Amir Sarfati's new book and workbook, Exploring Ezekiel. Be sure to check out the extended version of this week's program on our website, ad-free, at olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels. Keep your eyes up, because everything is falling into place.